Couple of updates from me before we get started this morning. Thank you all for your gifts and this offering that will help us in January. We're very, very appreciative of that. In response to Sunday night's meeting, I want to say that it has come to my attention that some of the illustrations and media that I have used have not always been age-appropriate for the children in the audience. And I take my calling to preach the Word of God very seriously, and my passion is to declare the whole counsel of God in the most compelling and relevant way that I can. Clearly, I have not always been 100% correct in my selections for those things that would enhance a given message. But God knows my heart, and my intention has always been to glorify Him in each sermon. I continue to be a lifelong learner in the communication process, and so I humbly ask for your prayers that the Lord will guide me in all of my preparations. I very, very much would appreciate that. As you know by now, both Pastor Tyler and I are heading for warmer climes. He's going west and I'm going south. I'll be leaving for Great Falls and then flying home early in the morning. And during that time, as Ken mentioned to you, I will maintain regular contact with Ken and Pastor Tyler and Becky as needed during the month of January. And I will be in touch with the search team also if that is needed. I think you all realize that Arliss has made many sacrifices to have me serve here, and so we really look forward to January together. Lord willing, I will return to you February 1 to finish my interim ministry, and we are trusting God to bring His pastor to us during those months. I want to thank you for your prayers for safe travel and for some much, much needed downtime with my wife. Our girls are coming Christmas Eve from Minneapolis and New York City, and we're looking forward to that. One of them is bringing a very serious boyfriend. That's going to be interesting. And then over the New Year's weekend, my wife and I have been invited by a man from a former church that I helped in Pennsylvania and his wife to come to Disneyland. And he's putting us up in the nice hotel in Orlando there at Disney World, and he's going to take us to the Gator Bowl to see Georgia play Nebraska. And we were just very blessed and somewhat surprised by this, but we're very, very excited about that time. Now, before we get started, we have a word from our sponsor about February. I think some of you must have just gotten to remedy for a feverish mother-in-law. All right. Really looking forward to sharing that gospel with you. Based on the extension of the contract, if I were to fulfill that entire time and we were not to get a pastor in place until that time at the end of June, I would make it probably through 5 chapters of Mark. So it's a great, great gospel, and I look forward to sharing that with you. We are this morning in our third on Christmas songs, and this one we call The Birthday Boy. And I have a nice text for you, of course, the traditional Christmas text that I want you to see from the Gospel of Luke. Probably wouldn't even be Christmas for most of us if we didn't read this. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own towns to register for this census, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the village inn. That night, Some shepherds were in the fields outside the village guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David, and this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to all whom God favors." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They ran to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. Then the shepherds told everyone about what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their fields and flocks, glorifying and praising God for what the angels had told them, and because they had seen the child, just as the angel had said. Let's pray together this morning. Take this moment to invite the Spirit's presence into your heart, to quiet our hearts, to hear from the Lord on this wonderful Christmas Sunday. Thank you, dear Jesus, the ultimate birthday boy. We love you this morning. Guide us as we share this truth for Jesus' sake. Amen. You know, birthdays can be a pretty big deal. There's another Alan who you may know about that has experienced that. Watch this. I want to recreate a day in my life that took place a little more than 49 years ago. It was August 29, 1964, my 10th birthday. Becky saw this picture and said, "Oh, how cute." Then she paused and said, "What happened?" But my special friends were invited. Guys like Doug Bowles and Paul Metz and Greg Garver and Jeff Schroff and Bart Schilvock. No yucky girls received an invitation. My concept of women at that time was based on my experience with two bratty younger sisters, Pam and Penny. And besides, as we all know, girls had cooties. Some of you have never even heard that word. I always get up early on my birthday because of the excitement in the air. And as I walked to breakfast, mysterious things were happening behind closed doors. If I knocked on a door, I would hear three voices in harmony, just like this.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
How did they know it was me out there? Well, once we reached the breakfast table, this whole family of English-speaking people converted to odd signals and sign language, cute smiles, deceptive grins, questionable glances passed back and forth. Then my mother entered the room with her annual question, "And how is our birthday boy?" Her smile, her giggle went right through me. If ever a boy felt wanted, needed, loved, special, it was me on this day. And then Mom proceeded with her usual reminder. "Now the rest of you know that on this special day, the birthday boy will not be expected to do dishes, house cleaning of any type, or yard work. This is Tom's special day. Treat him that way." This was the perfect moment for me to nod and smile in the direction of Pam and Penny and my older brothers Tim and Jim. And they tried so hard to glance back with bored looks, but I could tell I got their goats and that they were suffering. After breakfast, Dad shook my hand. "Congratulations, son, you made it to 10. Then Mom would pop the big question about the birthday meal. You see, the birthday child could choose a restaurant or have the favorite meal at home. And you should understand plenty of things were riding on this choice, one of them being my neck. You see, my older brothers knew that Tommy would want to go to Mr. Steak. My younger sisters had this definite sense that I would lean toward McDonald's. Did you notice something about that McDonald's sign? Raise your hand if you remember 15-cent hamburgers at McDonald's. Come on, you old people. I do. And that's exactly how McDonald's looked in Mansfield, Ohio when I was a kid. That's how they all looked.
15 cents US.
There you go. So that'd be about a quarter, I guess. Yeah. All right. Demonstrating my great passion, of course, to please both sides here, I just decided to have my favorite meal at home, a chuck roast, mashed potatoes, cauliflower with cheese sauce, and iced tea, a birthday cake and ice cream. Oh, soon my 10th birthday was over, and the meal was so good. The cake, always made by this lady in our church named Lois Petrovic with her famous Crisco icing. Can you spell Lipitor? Most of the presents took me by surprise. I had so much fun with my friends. But you know, yesterday's birthday boy often becomes today's well-adjusted young person. When we sow love and approval and appreciation, we reap these admirable qualities in our children. And there are just a few simple things that go into producing a great birthday party, but the message communicated is so profound. As that sweet sense of love and security continues throughout the year, that child is affirmed over and over again. I know this to be true this morning, friends, because you see, I was a birthday boy. This morning, I want us to focus on the ultimate birthday boy, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we celebrate his birthday on Wednesday, what are the things that we should concentrate on? And so I want us to use the model of our earthly birthdays and see what we can learn. First, write this down in your notes. We celebrate the incident of the birth itself. The incident. Now, being the mother of 10 children, you can imagine how challenging it was for my mom to recall details from each birth, right? But we could always get her to remember some peculiar incident. My middle name started out to be Edward until mom realized she had given that to Jim already. So it got changed to Edwin real quick. Preacher's kids are usually born late Saturday night or early Sunday morning. It's a rule. This is to ensure maximum interruption in the minister's schedule. Our daughter Andrea was born at 4:19 a.m. West Coast time at the MSA Hospital in Abbotsford, British Columbia. I'm not making that up. 4:19 in the morning. Some of you would just have fascinating stories about unique birth experiences that have been told, retold, maybe considerably embellished many times over at family reunions. There's just something marvelous and majestic about the birth of a child that gives impetus to our celebration. Another aspect of the birth is the way in which it establishes our existence, our identity. We all possess a birth certificate that gives a specific date and place and time and name. I was born in Rochester, New York. My wife was born in Lynchburg, Virginia. Andrea, as I mentioned, in Abbotsford. She's a dual citizen. Amanda was born in Mansfield, Ohio. These are well-established facts with many witnesses to verify the documentation. And I want to suggest to you that our cause for celebration on Christ's birthday celebrates and centers around the same two things. We celebrate on Wednesday our Lord's birthday with energy and enthusiasm because the event of the birth itself is so overwhelming. In our text, the Magi mysteriously appear after being led by a star. Shepherds arrive from surrounding pastures because an angel miraculously announces the birth of baby Jesus. Mary's pregnancy, unlike any before or since, because no human father was involved. What was conceived in her was from the Holy Spirit. We can only guess what was going through the minds of this husband and wife as they contemplated how this child would look when he was delivered. With no vacancy signs posted everywhere, Joseph and Mary are forced to settle into a cattle barn. The King of Kings would take his first nap on a mound of hay piled in a feed bin. Yes, friends, that was the first king-size bed for the real king. Incredible is a weak word to capture the intriguing scenario of the Savior's birth. Also, the birth of Christ established his existence as our Messiah, God incarnate. He has a name. He has a place of birth. He has a birthday. Historian Otto Betti, no serious scholar, has ventured to postulate the non-historicity of Jesus. F.F. Bruce, the historicity of Christ is as axiomatic for an unbiased historian as the historicity of Julius Caesar. And then consider this list of non-biblical historians in the first two centuries who confirm the birth, the life, and the death of Jesus Christ. We have Tacitus, Lucian, Josephus, Suetonius, Secundus, Tertullian, Thallus, Justin Martyr. Did you know that the Encyclopedia Britannica uses 20,000 words to describe the Lord Jesus, more space than that given to Aristotle, to Cicero, to Alexander, to Julius Caesar, to Buddha, to Confucius, to Muhammad, or even Napoleon Bonaparte? Praise God, the Redeemer was born just like the prophets foretold. He was here on this earth as certainly as you are sitting in this sanctuary on this December the 22nd, 2013. We celebrate the incident of the Savior's birth because it was so overwhelming and because it established his existence and identity in our world. Now here's the second point to ponder this morning in your notes there. We celebrate the individuality of the birthday boy. You know, birthdays are a time of uniqueness, and celebrating that uniqueness of each child. The party is a way of saying, this is a special day. You're a special person. There's no one exactly like you. Oh, that was certainly true of dear old Grandpa Jones. Did you hear about him? At his 100th birthday party, everyone complimented Grandpa Jones on how athletic, how well-preserved he looked. Ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you the secret of my success, he cackled. I've been in the open air day after day for 75 years. The celebrants were impressed. They wondered how he managed to keep up his rigorous fitness regime, so they asked him about it. Grandpa Jones explained, well, you see, my wife and I were married 75 years ago. On our wedding night, we made a solemn pledge. Whenever we had a fight, the one who was proved wrong would go outside and take a walk. Grandpa Jones got lots of exercise. You know, King David captured the essence of our distinctiveness in Psalm 139. He declares that each of us were fearfully and wonderfully made. One of my friends said, yeah, I think I was a little more fearfully than wonderfully. But that's not what the Bible says. We're both. God throws away the mold every time a new baby is born. Even twins and triplets have distinct personalities, even though they may look alike. And by the way, this is why we are so firm in our conviction on the sanctity of all human life, dear friends. As I consider my own family, this becomes abundantly clear. Even with 10 of us, there were no duplications. Each of us is unique in so many ways. And my wife and I marvel at how distinct our daughters are from each other. We've got the art daughter who could have cared less about her grades. And then we've got little Mandy who was the brainiac, straight A's. If you designed them on a computer, you couldn't make them different. This is the Creator's plan. We celebrate the individuality of every member of the human race. But I want it to be clearly stated this morning, my friends, that Jesus Christ elevated the meaning of the word unique to a whole new level when He was born. On Wednesday, we commemorate the majestic exceptionality of Jesus like no one else who was ever born. In your notes there, 7 ways in which the Christ child was completely original. Jesus was the only person ever born who did not have an earthly human father. That never happened before His birth. It has not occurred since. Second, the Savior was the only person in history who did not need to learn. He had perfect knowledge about every subject during His time. He knows infinitely more than all the great minds of the world today combined. He never once had to study or learn any of it. Third, Christ was unique in that He needed no outside source of life to remain alive. He was completely self-contained, self-sustained. This is why Paul says, in Jesus we live, we move, we have our being. Even when He died, dear friends, it was a matter of personal choice. You remember Pilate in the judgment hall said to Jesus, "Don't you realize I have the power to take your life from you?" And Jesus' response to that was, "Oh, no, you don't. I give it up of myself." He's the only person that could say that. Number four, our Lord was the only person who could claim to be 100% God and 100% man simultaneously. He wasn't half of each. He was all of both. You say, "Pastor Tom, explain that." Good luck. I cannot explain that, but I can enjoy the truth of it. Number five, Jesus demonstrated His individuality by living a sinless life. This had never been done before His time. It has not been repeated. Ever. Think about that. How unique is Jesus? Number six, this Savior was the only person who ever claimed to be the only way to God and to heaven. No other religious leader, religious founder, no other philosopher ever dare claim that. Only Jesus said that He was the only possible way to get to the Father, to get to heaven. And then number seven, Christ predicted His own death and resurrection, ascension and return. He has delivered on 3 of 4 of those promises so far. And some who are sitting right here this morning may be privileged to see Him fulfill number four when He comes in power and glory someday. What a celebration we have when we understand the uniqueness of our transcendent Messiah. His birthday on Wednesday takes on so much greater significance and deeper meaning. We say happy birthday to the one who stands head and shoulders above all other kings and presidents and prime ministers and religious leaders. Friends, listen to me this morning. Jesus is far above the greatest philosophers who've ever searched for meaning and purpose, because He is the meaning and the purpose for which they seek. He is those things. Oh, join me today in celebrating the superiority of our Savior. Finally, consider this. We celebrate the interests of the birthday boy. I remember one birthday as a young boy. My father was overseas preaching, and my special request for a meal that day was to go to a restaurant alone with my mother. I had selected the L&K restaurant on Park Avenue West in Mansfield, Ohio. I was very intentional in that choice. When we arrived, I asked Mom if we could sit on those little stools at the counter. She smiled and agreed. When she asked me what I wanted to eat, I pointed to the tiny cereal boxes on the shelf. At first, my mother was quite surprised. She double-checked to see if that's what I really wanted. And then it dawned on her. Coming from such a large family, her son had never been able to eat from one of those miniature cereal boxes. Way out of our price league. Trust me, 10 kids, minister, the whole thing, right? Our family bought cereal in 10-pound bags. Almost literally. I remember them very well. And for me to be able to take that little box, follow that perforated line with a knife, open that thing up with its waxed interior, pour the milk in, and eat right out of the box. You got to know, that was big times for me. Also, sitting at the counter was a special treat. Our family had to put four tables together, you know, whenever we went out anywhere. Mom was sensitive to the special interests of her birthday boy. Isn't this characteristic when we give a birthday party for our child or our friend? We try to purchase presents. We plan the meal. We invite guests with one thing in mind. We try to match the interests of the birthday person themselves. And you know, you can usually tell if a gift that you got is one they don't like. The eyes give it away. The eyes. Who could forget Clark Griswold's reaction to that quote-unquote bonus that he was supposed to get for Christmas from his boss?
With this bonus check, I'm putting in a swimming pool. That's it. That's the big one.
Open it.
I'm sorry if I've been a little short with everyone lately. I've been waiting for this bonus. To make sure the pool goes in as soon as the ground thaws, I had to lay out the money in advance. And until this little miracle arrived, I didn't have enough in my account to cover the check I wrote.
Tear the sucker open, Dan.
Yeah.
Drum roll.
There's enough left over. I'm going to fly you all down here to help us dedicate it.
I can't swim, Clark.
I know that, Eddie.
Clark, what's wrong? Honey. It's bigger than you expected? Smaller? What is it?
It's a one-year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
Oh, God.
Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
That it is, Edward. That it is indeed.
Did you see the eyes? The late Rodney Dangerfield once reminisced about a birthday in his boyhood. He said, "My childhood was rough. Once for my birthday, my old man gave me a bat. The first day I played with it, it flew away." A few years ago, I went to buy a special present for Arliss's 40th birthday. Now notice I said a few years ago. Do the math, people. Anyway, At the store, I spotted these cute little music boxes. This blue one was playing Happy Birthday to You. You know, it was really cute. Well, thinking they were all the same, I selected the red box. And I wrapped it, had it gift wrapped, and brought home. And later that night, with several of her friends from the church looking on, Arliss opened this gift and lifted the lid. And oh, guys, let me tell you, check the box out, okay? I never have lived that one down. Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that in celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior on Wednesday, we are wise to focus on His interests. I want to give you three things that are very near and dear to His heart this morning. First, saving the lost. Listen to Luke 19:10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus knew that apart from repentance and believing on Him for salvation, the human race was lost and bound for hell. And this matter of saving what was lost is His greatest passion. Keep that in mind when we celebrate the interests of the birthday boy this Wednesday. Second, the unifying of the saints. Excuse me, just a moment. The unifying of the saints. John 17:23, Jesus said, I and them and you and me, all being perfected into one, then the world will know that you sent me and will understand that you love them as much as you love me. Friends, our love for one another, our unity in this body of Christ, was a matter of great interest to the Lord Jesus. He knew it was not only good for us, but it would send an important message to those out there who need Jesus. It's by our love for one another that they will be drawn to Him. Third, the evangelizing of the world. Hear what our captain says, Matthew 28. Jesus came and told His disciples, I've been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Friends, it would be impossible to describe for you the deep emotion that our Lord has centered around the international spread of His good news. This is why our mission at CMBC must be to fulfill the great commandment, the great commission of Jesus Christ. Do you see how we can best celebrate the birthday of our Savior this morning? In your notes, we do so on Wednesday by renewing our allegiance to the local and international spread of the gospel. Do you want to say happy birthday to Jesus this week? The best way you can say it is to recommit yourself, realign yourself, your allegiance to the international spread of the gospel. This is the number one concern of our birthday honoree. Second, we can make this a happy birthday for the Savior by rededicating ourselves to the unity of this local church. You heard what Jesus had to say about that. This is so important to Him. Why not make this week of Jesus' birthday the week that we all determine as we go into a new year together that this will be a year of unprecedented unity at CMBC. This is what God wants. We'll never reach those outside here if we don't get along in here. So vital. Boldly rebuking gossip with all of its subtle undercurrents. Committing ourselves anew to the edification of one another in this body. Third, we can make sure that we have been rescued from our own lost condition. Wouldn't it be sad to have someone come to your birthday party who didn't even know you? Do you ever think about that? How sad would that be? Have someone come to your birthday party who didn't even know you? You say, well, if they brought a present. You know, it's possible this morning that there might be someone here today trying to celebrate Jesus' birthday on Wednesday, but you don't know this blessed Savior personally. I want to share with you how you can participate in this most important birthday party of all. You've heard me say before, some of you, that it's as simple as ABC. If you're here today and you've never met this wonderful Savior, this one who's created all this stir around the holidays, it starts with the letter A, because we need to acknowledge that we're sinners. We are sinners. We are separated from God. The Bible says all have sinned, and we've all come short of the glory of God. Now, I was a preacher's kid, and you might think that I got a pass, right? Because my dad was a righteous man, and he preached the Bible, and so preacher's kids are safe, right? No. Because I had sin in my life, too. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to acknowledge that if we're going to know this Savior at this Christmas time. The B stands for believe. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says we will then be saved. This means we believe that He lived. We believe that He died. We believe that He rose again. We believe that He will come into our hearts if we simply pray and ask Him to. And so this morning, maybe for the very first time, someone could say, Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe You're my Savior. And then, of course, C is for commit. We commit not just today, but the rest of our lives to Him. Jesus said, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and let him follow Me. Someone could do that here this morning. You could make that kind of commitment where you say, Lord Jesus, I don't know all that this is going to mean for my future, but I'm going to trust You today and give You all of my tomorrows. I commit myself to You. If you've never done this before, I want to offer a prayer that you could pray just silently where you are this morning with me. And afterwards, I'm going to be in the lobby with a little book that I wrote, What to Expect Now That You Believe. And it would be my gift to you. There is no charge, absolutely no charge for this to you. But I would want you to have this just to get you started in your new Christian life and to let you know that we care about you. There's some devotional studies in the back of the book, and it's a really good starting point for a new believer. And if you pray along with me this morning, I want you to have that book. If I don't have enough copies, I'll bring some back with me because I want you to have it. Would you bow your heads together with me, please? If this expresses the desire of your heart, you don't need to say it out loud. Doesn't need to be any big show here this morning. God will see your heart. He will hear you in that silent prayer, and He will respond. There's nothing magic about the words I'm about to offer, but there is something very special about the sincerity of your heart as you pray. So you could just pray something like this. I'll take it phrase by phrase. And you could just follow me. If you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior this morning at this Christmas time, and you'd like to today, just follow me phrase by phrase and mean this from your heart. Just silently, right where you are. You could say, Dear Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I don't measure up to Your standard of righteousness. But I believe that You are my Savior. Come into my heart. Forgive my sin. I believe You can do that for me. And Jesus, I commit the rest of my life to You. I will be Your servant. Thank You for doing what You promised. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed with me this morning, I want to see you in the lobby. Please don't leave, okay? Because I want you to have this book. I want to get your name and associate a face with that. I would love to know about your conversion experience this morning. inviting Jesus. Well, for our benediction on this Sunday before Christmas, I would like us to listen to the Hallelujah Chorus by George Friedrich Handel. By the way, it's spelled correctly on the screen that you will soon see. I thought it was odd too, and the spell check tried to change it. But this is actually how his name was spelled. I was informed by both John Nickel and Lois Dick that there is somewhat of a tradition here for people to have sung in the Messiah, and maybe even particularly the Hallelujah Chorus. I did not know that there was a time when that was the case. And you could certainly feel free to sing along from where you are with this wonderful group that we're going to be hearing sing. Now, tradition has it that King George of England was so moved by the very first performance in London, March 23, 1743, that he stood to his feet in honor of this closing song, which of course then led to the entire audience standing to its feet for this masterpiece called The Messiah. So I'd like us to stand this morning in honor of the ultimate birthday boy, the one and only King Jesus. And if you want to sing along from right where you are, you feel free. Here is the Hallelujah.